It's George White, and we're on reel two, George. Now, when you went back the second time, and as you were saying, you had quiet periods and
Yes, we
periods of
did.
activity, did you notice any improvement in the sort of kit that or technology that you had?
The same sort of thing went on. Yes.
Were you given, for instance, steel helmets
Yes.
this second time round?
I don't think we had when we went out the first, did we?
And I was wondering about the gas. Did you have proper gas masks
No, we
now?
used to urinate on a piece of cloth and wear that across your mouth.
Yeah, all the way through the war.
No. We got improvised sort of gas mask to prevent that. But you see, with gas, it's a very funny thing, isn't it? They can release the gas one minute when they think they've got everything in their favour, and before very long the wind changes and they they're getting it back. And I think that's what caused a lot of the stoppage of the gas attacks. Yeah.
Did you experience any gas when you returned to France the
No,
second time?
never experienced any after that. I think the Germans realised it wasn't a very good tactic. Yeah. It's a daft bloody game though, wasn't it, actually? I don't know, I'm sure. I don't know how we went on, and I'm sure I don't know to this day how they come across these little upsets and have a little scrap and burn out it down and all that. It's just a bloody nonsense, isn't it? Do you think we shall ever overcome it?
Well, I hope so, but you've certainly seen enough wars, haven't you, in your century?
Do you think that some people get so prejudiced about a thing that whatever goes on, whether it's right or wrong, that they'll keep on with it? I mean, you take this Irish fair now. What's wrong with that? Who's to blame for that? Who's kicking up?
Oh, that again is so complex, isn't it,
Absolutely,
George?
absolutely.
Yes, I think we'll return to World War One, didn't you? Well, so when you went back to France, did you stay there all the time until the end of the war? Yes. Now, when the Germans advanced in March 1918, I believe you said you had been in the Passchendaele area.
That's
Is that
right,
right?
yeah.
Would you have been there at the battle of, the 1917 Passchendaele battle? Does that name mean anything to
No,
you?
it doesn't. You see,
You were in the Ypres area.
the thing is that we didn't treat the war in the same light and appearance as a civilian. You see, I don't know. I can't make it out somehow or other. It's extraordinary. I don't know whether anyone's got any recording of the First World War, have they? Have you got any?
Yes, like I'm doing with you. But I wondered, I think you said in 1917, before the Germans advanced, you were still in the Ypres area, is that right?
That's right, yes.
That was a pretty bad winter, wasn't
It was
it?
indeed.
Did you experience all the mud and.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so how difficult was that, George, operating and, having to fight in very muddy and wet conditions?
Well, do you know what came first? Safety. So if we were near a shell hole and that was full of water, we used to get in there with it. Never used to bother.
What would you have been doing, during that time of action
Well,
in the Ypres area?
you'd either be in reserve or in the front line, you see, and it didn't matter much where you were. If you was in reserve, you might get called into action. So that was as far as it went.
And would the fighting have been very fierce at that time, winter of 1917?
Yeah, well, it wasn't actually the fighting being fierce, it was the position in which you found yourself. You see, that was the main term. You may have been a small unit surrounded by several strong German units, you see, and you've got no bloody chance. that they wouldn't give you a chance if you didn't look at, well, then he was dead.
Yeah. Do you remember incidents like that, George?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Is there any one in particular that
That's
you
right.
could tell me about?
Yeah.
Do you remember an incident like that you could tell me about?
Well, it's extraordinary, you know. We never sort of made any specific quality or preserve of any sort of instruments or instance that we were mixed up in. We were glad to get out of it, you see, and that was that, and that was the end of it. And what we was hoping that there wouldn't be another like that, but it goes on just the same.
I suppose, though, in those very wet conditions, it would have been very difficult to have had proper trenches, is that right? When the conditions were so muddy and wet.
Well, what we used to do was to build top defence.
Did you?
Yeah.
What would you build that out of?
Soil around the position where we were. Sandbags, you see, and such like things. But it's a terrible business, war, isn't it? But I don't know whether there'll ever be any peace, will there?
What happened when the Germans advanced in March 1918? Did you have to retreat?
Well, you see, it doesn't happen all the way along the line, does it? So in that position where they break through, the only thing you can do is to sort of defend your flanks and hope that the gap doesn't go any bigger.
Was that a very worrying period, though?
Well, absolutely, madam. Absolutely.
What were your orders at that time? Can you remember?
Don't retire.
And were you able to stay and hold your line?
Well, we did our best. And apart from that, that's about all we could do. Yeah. It doesn't seem true now, you know, that all this nonsense went on, because it was a lot of nonsense, wasn't it? And then Hitler had to come along and made it worse, didn't he?
Did it seem like nonsense to you at the time?
Yeah, it did. We couldn't make it out, you see. I mean, it's like this Irish affair. They can't all be wrong, or they can't all be right, can they? And yet they can't come to any compromise about the situation as it is, you see, and all its trouble starts, don't it? Do you know any Irish people?
Quite a few, yes. But going back to the... We must keep to World War One. When the advance started, did you go forward?
Yes.
Could you tell me about that? Was it rather good to be on the move?
Well, I don't know. On many occasions, if you advance, very often the enemy wouldn't defend themselves. You see, they'd clear off as well. So then you had a job of chasing them and looking out after yourself as well. And if you went too far forward, they'll close up behind you and you had it.
So how far did you move, you know, once you started advancing?
Well, there's no specific distance you can move, you see. A lot depends upon the position in which you find yourself at the time. You might get through in one or two gentle places where the opposition are not too strong, but you generally find some strong opposition, which alters the situation.
Did you find in your areas that the Germans did, you know, stand and fight? Or did they leave?
Well, I can't honestly say that the Germans put up a lot of resistance as far as that goes, but they somehow managed to get away with it occasionally.
Where were you when the war ended, George?
In France.
Yes, what part of France? Would you have still been in the sort of Ypres?
Yeah, I was in the trenches.
Do you remember hearing that the war had ended? And
yes, it's a very funny thing you should mention that. We've got orders that the war had finished, and yet when we went out and to sort of settle things down, the Germans didn't seem to realise it.
But were they still firing?
No, they weren't firing, but they looked aggressive. So that's it. Went on, you see, the thing didn't just stop automatically, and we went over and shook hands with each other and all that nonsense.
Did you take prisoners?
I don't ever remember taking prisoners. It's a long while ago.
So what were you doing then, when the war ended, until you were demobbed?
We were still manning the trenches, but when things quietened down, we went into the village and tried to get billets in decent conditions, you see. And that's the way it went.
And were you given any jobs to do? You know, did you?
Oh yes, clearing up and dying. Yeah.
Were there many bodies and, you know, things about?
Oh yes, there'd be some too.
What did you yourself do?
I can't tell you.
Just help, general helping,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah.
What was it like, though, the living conditions in the trenches, George?
Terrible.
How did you manage to keep yourself clean at all?
We didn't. We was lousy as anything. Lousy as coats. Used to get a candle and run up the seams of the trousers. And you'd eat the life's eggs cracking, as it.
That must have been awful. Did it make it very uncomfortable?
I don't know. It's surprising what the human will put up with, isn't it?
How about your feet? Did you manage to keep your feet
yes,
in good
yes,
condition?
Yes, I never had much trouble with my feet.
You didn't have trench feet?
No. Because that was through the cold and frost and stuff like that. But I don't know, it seems to me that under any circumstances or any conditions, if a chap's got any sense at all, he can keep himself fairly well without a lot of bother. See, I mean, what's the use of being in a sloppy change so you can get out and keep in the dry?
Is that what you would do, George?
Yeah. But I'll tell you what he did do. He put us in bad temper. You know, we didn't stand for any nonsense.
That means you stood up, did you? You stood up to your NCOs.
And but they were nearly all in one at those days, you know. They nearly are all under the same umbrella.
How about your food? What sort of food did you have? What's your memory of it?
I'll give you one little instant. We grew up for 2 or 3 days, and we were near a field of onions. And I thought, well, there's an opportunity. So I went ahead and got a little big fish full of onions. And getting them nicely cooked, somebody come along and kick the bugs over.
Otherwise, what sort of food did you have? What did they dish out to you?
Biscuits and bully, chiefly. Unless you could find anything locally. I mean, same as towel or cock or anything like that. You see, we'd snap one of them up and get him cooked.
Well, you'd pinch one, would you, or would you buy it?
No, we wouldn't buy anything. No. We'd pinch it.
And how about drink? What did you have to drink?
Anything that you get out of.
You'd brew up, would you? Have tea?
Yes, it would be tea. It would be any milk or sugar in it. Oh, I don't know if we survived it. See, I'm 100. And I've been through all that lot. And now I'm still alive and kicking. Little kicks, but still kicking.
You look very much kicking to me, George. How about rum? Did you take your rum ration?
Yes, we had the rum ration, dear. That's about the only thing that kept us a going.
Was that important?
Yes,
to have that
very
rum?
Important, yes.
Did they give it to you before you went over the top?
Well, not particularly. You had it almost at any time. It was a ration, yes. It lightened your spirits up a bit, but it didn't last very long, did it?
Did you have parcels from home, George?
Oh, yes. If it reached you in good condition, that is.
Was that the case?
Yes.
That sometimes they weren't in good
exactly.
condition.
And they sometimes didn't arrive at all. Somebody flung them.
What sort of things did your parents send you?
Anything that was, you know, useful and fit to eat. Yeah. Anything like that you could get in those days. To me, it doesn't seem real now, you know. Yeah.
Did you have letters from home as well?
Yes, yes. Yes, because they used to issue field cards. Cards were printed and you just filled in the gaps. Yeah, they weren't very handy. Yeah.
Did you have a girlfriend then at home?
Thousands.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
No.
Is that so? They wrote to you, did they?
No, there was no girls in the front line there.
But you had girlfriends at home?
Well, you see, I was so young, I really hadn't reached that stage, did I? But this one's a bit of thinking about, you know. It's a hell of a job.
Well, you're doing very well, George. You've remembered an awful lot. How about your officers? You were saying earlier on how they kept themselves rather apart. But, you know, you must have interacted with them. They gave you orders and that.
Oh, yes.
What did you think of the officers?
Well, most of them were pretty decent. I mean, they had to put in a show, didn't they? See, if it went off, so it went a bit wild and army, well, that sort of spread through the ranks. And
did that sometimes happen?
Yeah.
What happened then?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh, no, come on, you tell me. How did you deal with that?
I don't know, they tell you the truth. I think they usually move the officer from his post and put him somewhere else.
Did you ever find, George, that some of your comrades suffered, you know, with their nerves because of the shelling?
Oh, yes, undoubtedly, yeah. Terrible. Crying.
Did they? Yeah. Cried? Mm. Did you ever feel like that? Did it get you down?
No, I don't think I ever felt like that. What I felt was that it was a shame that such things went on. That's what puzzled me more than anything. I mean, even in the little village where I lived, there was 30 casualties.
Or 30 killed?
Yeah. And then a small village of about 1,000. Tell you what we used to say, Jesus loves us, yes I know, so does Cowboy Joe.
That sounds as if you weren't particularly religious in the trenches, is that right?
That's right, madam.
Did it put you off of religion, the war?
Well, you couldn't understand it, but let's put it like that. You thought to yourself, well, if Jesus loves us, why does he make us go through all this suffering? And that was the point. But the only people who wanted to get any sympathy with us was the Salvation Army.
Why was that?
Yeah, they were as good as anybody.
What did they do?
They'd comfort you and come and talk along with you and so on and so forth. Yeah. It doesn't seem possible, does it?
Did you have padres?
Yeah.
And church services?
Yes.
How about your padre? What was he like?
He wasn't a bad sort of chap. No.
Did they go up to the front, the padres?
Yeah. There weren't many scrub shankers. But it doesn't seem true, you see, Mary. It's over 80 years ago, isn't it? No, I don't understand it. And I understand it less to think that I'm 100 years old and still alive.
How soon were you demobbed after the war, George?
I beg your pardon?
How soon were you demobbed?
I don't know. I don't think we were demobbed too quickly, because I think we used to aggravate ourselves by being kept in the service, you see, after the war had finished. But there's certain units seemed that priority of demobilisation. And I think it was chiefly tradesmen and people like that who were essential to progress. Well, then you see the Second World War came along, and it was really worse than the first one, wasn't it? The Americans must have suffered, you know, because they took on the Second World War, didn't they?
Yes. It was interesting you saying with the First World War, your memory of the Americans coming in 1917.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did that make a difference to your morale, do you think, when the Americans came in?
I don't know. You know what the Americans are, don't you?
No, tell me.
All bluff and whatever the bullshit, as we'd call them. But I don't know, I think what did it, they had the armament, didn't they? The planes and the tanks and things like that. And that's what did it. I think the Germans pretty well had enough.
Did you ever see at the front, for other nationalities, the Australians or?
Oh yes, we mixed up with all sorts of people. Yeah.
What did you think of the Australians?
Not too bad. Bit boastful, perhaps. But you see, when you get under those conditions, it all just runs out on the situation. It's all very well saying what you're going to do when you're in reserve, but when you get in the line and get up amongst it, you take another view.
It seems to me from what you've said that you were very cautious, particularly when you went back.
I was very cautious.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's no reason why I shouldn't have been. Yeah, I suppose several people in life today haven't been too venturous. See, you can't play about with a chap on the other end of the riot. If he's got his sights on you, you've had it, haven't you? And that's how it was there. Yeah.
Your role would always have been as an infantryman,
yes,
I think.
Right.
Is that right,
yes.
George? Yes. So your role was to go forward and attack.
Right.
Were you ever frightened when you did that? Were you aware of being frightened?
Well, I didn't accept it under those conditions. I used to think, well, if they hit me in the right place with the right bullet, I shan't do anything about it. That was the only consolation I had, and that's the way it used to be. Yeah. But you can't understand it, can you? One human being attacking another and murdering them, as you might say. Now, but to think that these four young chaps went off together in 1914 and all came back is extraordinary, isn't it? Because we were all in the front line, we were all, you know. And you see that the more you are amongst that sort of thing, the more precautions you take. You're more aware of the dangers of it.
Yes, I'm still wondering about your experience in the country, as a country, you know, with animals and wildlife, whether that helped you with your caution, you know, stalking and being careful.
Well, not so much as all that, but you'd be aware of motions or actions that have taken place, you see, which may be caused by some disturbance or attack on the other side of the field.
How easy did you find it to adapt to normal life when you came back?
It was very difficult.
Was it, George? Yeah. Tell me about that. Well, you went back to the farm, did you?
Yeah. See, and what the theories that you'd built up didn't always work out when you came back. So that caused a bit of friction. That's the way it went.
What you had, you were disappointed, were you,
yes,
with post-war?
Right, yes.
Yes. What had you hoped for after the war? You know, what did you have dreams and hopes?
Well, I had hopes of a more business-like approach to farming and the success of it. Let's see. You can tell what sort of spirit I was in when I came back for a period. Onto the farm, Father said something to me. I said, well, not to worry. I said, I can always go back into the army. He said, I was a nasty temper sort of.
But I suppose it was pretty hard life then on the farm,
it
wasn't
was
it?
Yes.
And not a lot of money, was
That's
there?
Right, madam. You got it.
World War II?
Only in the Home Guard.
Now, only in the Home Guard. Yes. Wasn't that quite a thing to be in?
No, thanks. No, I need another war. But I think the Home Guard saved the country, you know.
Do you?
Yeah,
you?
Honestly, mm-hmm. I think the Germans realised that if they started anything, they'd got all of England against them. And all because there was Home Guards in every position and place, you know, and they were rather keen. Yeah.
I suppose it was very important for the Home Guards to have people like you in it.
That's right.
With experience of war.
That's right. That's
and was your experience used, George, do you think, in the Home Guard? Were you able to advise, you know, when you did your training?
Oh, yes, that all came in very useful. And mostly the under soldiers used to take notice of us, you see, they, yeah. But it's a dark side here, isn't it? Do you think there'll ever be peace on earth?
Well, I hope so, George, and I think on that note we ought to end, don't you? And thank you ever so much, George, for telling
you're
me
welcome,
about
man.
Your experience.
You're welcome. You're the only opportunity I've had to express my opinion about this business.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Well, I'm very surprised, George, that you haven't been interviewed before.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
And this will go to Duxford. Do you have connections with Duxford?
Well, I've been over to Duxford once when the war was on. That was through the Home Guard, I think.
Oh, perhaps I ought to ask you about that.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.